Back. This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We want to greet our new affiliate today, and that affiliate is WMQM in Memphis, Tennessee. That's AM 1600, and that's a 50,000-watt station that is going to be increasing the outreach of both Mark Dankos America as well as the Republic Broadcasting Network. And we have Barry Chomish on today. You can find him at thebarrychomishwebsite.com. He's the author of Bye Bye Gaza and also Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. Later in the show, I have a couple of additional questions for myself in regard to understanding some of what the guest has shared with us today. But right now, we have Bob in Texas on the line. And Bob, go ahead with your conversation with Barry.
Barry, are you there?
Hi. I am.
Okay, what I was trying to get at is, you know, you mentioned earlier the problem we have in America, and I think that we share the same problem that a minority in Israel share, and that we've all lived a good deal of our life under a system of incremental propaganda. And I can see how a German Jew at the time of Hitler would be looking for a good reason to get out of there and go anywhere where they weren't being hunted down like dogs by somebody like Hitler.
That's certainly how they got the population, the root population during the 1930s to Israel. You're right about that.
Well, I will be a buyer of your book because I'm interested in the internal workings of the state of Israel as it exists today. But my real question is, what hard evidence exists to demonstrate a legitimate claim by whatever portion of the tribe of Judah that was left after 70 AD to make a claim 2,500 years later or 2,000 years later to that land? And I think, you know, what happens in the conversation is everybody wants to point fingers at everybody and have a fist fight, when instead I think they need to sit down and discuss it, because a lot of these people that find themselves living in the state of Israel...
There are 6 million Jews in Israel, and they think they're home. There's nothing to discuss. Okay, this isn't even an issue in the mind of an Israeli. It's silly. You know, you're talking about historical Jewish land, and you're talking about a large Jewish population that was there even before Zionism, and this is simply not an issue in any Israeli's mind.
Well, I would agree that there have been Jews living side by side with the Arabs in Palestine or Jerusalem, whichever you choose to call it, for centuries.
That's true.
But, you know, when you listen to Ahmadinejad, which I'm not on his side. I don't like him. As a matter of fact, I think he's one of them. And I think that he's just another toady. But what I want to say is the statement that he made in saying that after the Second World War and the Holocaust, whether you believe it or you don't, most of the Jews that live in Palestine or Jerusalem today are Russian Jews.
Whether you believe it or you don't, there's someone who doesn't.
Well, I mean, I think everybody has the right to their own opinion after doing their own research to determine whether or not they believe the numbers are accurate. But we know a lot of bad things happened, and a lot of innocent people were murdered and butchered. And I don't think anybody's going to deny that.
No.
But the point being, why was it necessary, or how is it justified to move such a large volume of Russian Jews, which, you know, you blew off the terminology, and at some point in time we all have to deal with this, because you've got Sephardim Jews and Ashkenazi Jews, and Ashkenazi aren't descended from Abraham.
That's ridiculous.
Tell me why.
That's ridiculous. Because we're descended from Abraham, okay? Really. Okay, you know, this isn't a discussion I want to have.
We'll be back.
It's just not a...
We'll be back, you guys. Sorry to interrupt you. There will be a longer period of time. It's Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on RBN. Stay tuned.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. Contact us today so we can help you prepare for whatever comes your way. Call us toll-free at 1-800-321-2900 or online at www.survivalcenter.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill.
I'm going there right now. Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Before we get back into our conversation with our caller and also with Barry Chamish, just wanted to mention that you can support the Republic Broadcasting Network by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or at 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719 if you would like to make a gift to the network. You can also have Aaron Russo's new DVD, America, Freedom to Fascism, for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling by, again, contacting us at the World Wide Web at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. I guess we're back into this conversation again that we were with before the commercial break. Bob, go ahead.
Mark, let me offer this. I'll acquiesce at this point with Barry because I think the conversation he has to offer this morning is more valuable than the argument we might have. And so I will back off with a concluding statement that at some point in time, if we're going to ask American kids to die for a purpose, we should know that the purpose is legitimate. As I have a 24-year-old son that is within the draft age. If they decide to draft and we end up in a long-term, which it appears we're going to, if it doesn't just turn nuclear war. And Barry, I got to tell you, I am amazed at the conversation this morning, and I think what you have to offer is more valuable than what's available anywhere else. And I don't think it's worth it for you and I to have the argument, but I think at some point in time, the destiny of these people that are good people with good intentions is going to be determined by whether or not there is some hard evidence to support the claim that they're entitled to the land. And it always goes back to that, and most people refuse to go back past 1948.
Okay, let's end this. I don't even want to go into this because it's stupid. Now, Mark, allow me to just simply
I'll go off the air.
Hello?
Thanks, Bob.
Now, allow me to simply state that I will never go into this absurd Khazarian Jew stuff. You know, Arthur Koestler, who wrote the 13th Tribe, was a very proud Israeli. He would be turning over in his grave if he saw how he was abused. Let me assure you of something. The Jews never forgot where they were. The tiniest little village in China remembers their Jews. And I assure you, if we were all from the middle of Turkey, we would remember that we were there. And I assure you of something else. There's no Turkish in Yiddish. There's not a single Turkish word in Yiddish. Nobody came from the Khazars except possibly the royal family. And I just don't involve myself in this. There's such real issues involved. And one is how we feel about our nation is nobody's business but our own. Secondly, no American is going to die because of Israel, because Israel's going to be wiped out probably in the next 2 or 3 months. So his son doesn't have to worry. What his son has got to worry about is dying in Afghanistan or Iraq. It has nothing to do with Israel. So this is just way, way off of what I do. I don't even go into this stuff. Now let's go backwards to what I really do, and that's my meeting with Ron Poondak.
Sure.
Are you with me?
Yes.
All right. So I'm sitting there in Tel Aviv, and by the way, this is what I do best, consider that. Callers just throw me off into directions I would never go in, and I wouldn't even truly give the time of day for that silly Khazarian argument. Now, backwards, I'm sitting with Joel in Tel Aviv, and I say to him, I'll bet you this guy wears a vest, and he's got wireframe glasses, and he looks like every Tel Aviv lefty intellectual. And in comes Ron Poondak, about 5'4", with a vest and wireframe glasses, and he's bragging. He is just bragging to me and Joel all about the real Oslo. He thought we were sympathetic. And again, I was secular. I didn't wear a kippah. Joel and I both wore jeans. We look like him except for the vest. And he started telling us what he was really doing with Oslo. Number one, he told us something, and we're going to get into that shortly, that Shimon Peres had nothing whatsoever to do with Oslo. The business that he was some sort of architect of Oslo, complete nonsense. He said his boss was Yossi Beilin, who I truly, truly hope someday, I can't tell you the punishment I hope for him. I think it's probably some sort of slander, so I won't. But his boss was Yossi Beilin, and he worked with Yitzhak Rabin, and Shimon Peres was kept out of Oslo because he would sabotage it with the Vatican. And we'll get to that shortly, because that's what he did in the end. But in the meantime, he says, he tells me something. We were talking for an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, but he says one thing that stands out. He says to us, you know, my boss, Yossi Beilin, I remind you, he says, my boss doesn't believe in borders. He says to me, he thinks that borders cause war. that if you get rid of borders, there won't be any war anymore. So this is December of 1993, and I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Today it makes perfect sense to me. Joel did, though. Joel had written a book with this New World Order concept about the Bush family, and he told me in the car what that meant for real. He said, this is amazing. It's dangerous. Ron Pundak told us, and I said to him, well, without borders, is there an Israel? And he says, no, there will be no Israel, but there won't be anywhere else either. We're all going to be speaking the same language and working hand in hand to make our trade bloc blossom. I said, what trade bloc? He said, Israel will get rid of its borders. There will no longer be a Jewish state. We will all be in the new Middle Eastern bloc. And he explains that it'll be like the EU and that trucks going from Libya to Iraq will have to pass through Israel. And then I hear this whole stuff. It's called the New Middle East. This is the Paris theory that Israel would be better off without army bases and only hotels. And this is what they're planning. I said, you mean to say that Israel's going to disappear under this Oslo Accord? He said, not disappear. We'll join into a world without war. I said, without Israel. He said, without war. And from that point on, December of 1993, when I opened my mouth and I started telling people that these people are insane. You don't know. I talked to the guy who wrote Oslo, and I talked to him for a long time. He's insane. What they're going to do is reduce Israel. They're going to get rid of Israel's borders. They're planning to get rid of Israel. I heard it from Ron Pundak, that it hasn't helped. They don't believe me. There's a very serious problem about how alone I am. That I don't have people who understand I'm telling the truth. And the story I tell, you think I don't know that it's a drastic change of reality and that none of our history and none of our myths were true. I know all this. The point is, you think it's not true that the Jews haven't lost about 80% of its people through assimilation, the Holocaust, pogroms. I said, we can't live with this anymore. They're wiping us out. If we don't get rid of these labor Zionism, if we don't say who they are, if we don't expose them, we're dead as a nation. And I've worked this out very, very thoroughly in my mind. I'm doing a good thing. I just don't think I'm going to succeed. I don't think there's any chance that I'm going to succeed. But I'm now going to tell you what happened in Oslo. If we have a little time, I'll tell you about Shimon Peres' role in Oslo. Do I have the time?
Yeah, yes, sir. We're on this show till 10 o'clock this morning. It's about 43 minutes from now. And that time
it's the next commercial around the corner.
I don't have my graph in front of me. It's probably a few minutes away, probably
okay,
5 minutes.
Let me start this. Here is how I proved that Shimon Peres was all tied up to the Vatican. I proved. He did it by himself. It happened it was February of 1994. Okay, it was February of 1994 that Shimon Peres' close friend, the French intellectual Marek Halter, gave an interview to the Israeli magazine Shishi. And in this interview, he says that he took a note from Peres in May of 1993 to the Pope himself. And he offered the Pope East Jerusalem. He offered them all of East Jerusalem. And the system worked like this. Peres was kept out of Oslo. Peres discovered Oslo April of 1993, and he still didn't believe it was serious. By May, he understood it was the only diplomatic crack in town, and he'd been left out. So he got his revenge. He brought the Vatican in. He sent a letter to the Holy See. As foreign minister of Israel, he offered the old city of Jerusalem to the Vatican. It would be run by the United Nations, would police the place. The Vatican would have control over all holy sites of all religions. Oops, there we go.
There we go. We'll be back, Barry. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, of the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Barry Chamish. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Barry Chamish. You can find Barry's website at thebarrychamishwebsite.com. Before the commercial break, we were talking about this whole business of Shimon Peres and what Barry believes is demonstrable evidence that links him to the Vatican and to Vatican influence in Jewish affairs. Go ahead, Barry.
Email me your address. I'll send you a present where this story I'm talking about now is in a book that is no longer in print, Traitors and Carpetbaggers in the Promised Land. It was put out by a church in Oklahoma City, Southwest Radio Ministry, and it went through a few printings, and it had a terrific influence, and this is where I expose Shimon Peres. I wrote this article up, I believe it was in 1994. I've been screaming that Peres is the Vatican spy in Israel, and here's how we know. Number one, he wrote, here's how we know. Here's one of the many ways we know. He wrote a letter to the Pope as foreign minister of Israel, promising the Pope East Jerusalem. And now we've gone through this. Now we go to stage two. The Italian magazine La Stampa writes the same thing. He writes about the note that Shimon Peres sent the Pope, and then they start describing what the real deal was. Jerusalem becomes a duty-free shop. You land at Jerusalem's airport, you don't need a passport. No goods have duty on them. He's going to make Jerusalem an international duty-free shop. This is what this madman, Shimon Peres, tells the Pope, and the Pope accepts it. According to La Stampa, the deal was that the Vatican get their enclave, they give the PLO a capital in Jerusalem within their enclave, Arafat agreed to this system and signed the Declaration of Principles. Arafat agreed to the Vatican coming in. It was his way to get a capital. Now, this could have died, even though there was a marvelous witness, and it appeared twice in the media, except the next year. And this was February of 1996. The Sefer radio station, which no longer exists, it was shut down in the age of repression. Another story, another time. Nonetheless, Arut Sheva said that it had received a cable from Rome. It was from the Israeli embassy in Rome to the foreign ministry in Jerusalem, outlining the transfer of hegemony of the old city of Jerusalem to the Vatican. And the next day, this cable appeared in Haaretz on the weekend newspaper. Here is Shimon Peres as foreign minister promising the Vatican the old city of Jerusalem. The whole country saw it. It's no secret. Now, this happened just before Passover, and every Passover, Peres would go to the tables of the biggest rabbis in politics. This year, everyone canceled him. Nobody wants the guy giving away Jerusalem to the Vatican at their table. So Peres had to come up with an excuse, and the excuse was amazing. And Israelis still remember the excuse. They don't remember the incident. They remember the excuse. Peres said that, yes, the cable was authentic, but someone had whited out the word not. That, in fact, his cable outlined how we would not be handing over hegemony of the old city of Jerusalem to the Vatican. Now, obviously, that is one very funny and urgent cable, right? But nonetheless, the Israelis bought it, and worse, the rabbis bought it. They re-invited Peres to their Passover tables, and that is unfortunately the state of religion in Israel. It's so naive and ignorant that a hokey statement like that, that somebody whited out the word not, like that cable was sent from every capital in the world, we will not be handing over the hegemony of Jerusalem to the leaders of Taipei or something. I mean, it's absurd to accept an excuse like that, but they did. And this is happening right now in Israel. Incidentally, when I started the show, I started telling you, watch out, Hebron is next. They are starting to set up Hebron. They're starting to take away all protection in that city. Now, you would be wise to root for the settlers. You would be wise to get all the propaganda out of your heads and start with the truth again. But it's a long and ugly, ugly story. But do you want to know the real truth about the Vatican? Mark, are you ready?
Yes.
All right, get ready for the big one. Yesterday I got a request from the Free Market News site. Very, very nice people. The man's name is Mark Fadiman. He phoned me up. He wanted an article exclusive for me. And I said, how would you like the most important...
We'll be back with Barry Chomish. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Barry, hold that thought. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Barry Chomish, whose website you can find at thebarrychomishwebsite.com. He is the author of Bye Bye Gaza, and as of approximately 10 years ago, the very interesting work, Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin? Barry, go ahead, sir.
All right. Now, I mentioned before, and I didn't expand on it, this meeting that took place in Frankfurt, Germany, in 1785, where Jacob Frank left very wealthy, and Adam Weishaupt left with a new movement dedicated to bringing down the Protestant Revolution wherever it occurred. Without going into the depths, world diplomacy had a very big change. From that point on, Germany and Britain were the two centers of world warfare. There was a tremendous clash between the Illuminati, which again is Rome. That's what it is. It's all these terms given to Illuminati everywhere. People don't know what it means. They just throw it out like it's the word that's the first thing you say in the morning. Good morning, Illuminati. Illuminati was Adam Weishaupt's organization. It was the Vatican, period. Nothing but the Vatican. Now, and then you have the side that nobody understands, and that's the Sabbatean side. Now, it gets complicated because the Illuminati were discovered in France during the Revolution. The story is that a horse rider fell and it was in his satchel. The point is they were banned. The Illuminati started getting banned all through Europe, so they came up with a solution. They were going to take their tenets to something already established and change the tenets of the established organization. The one they chose was British Freemasonry, and they did, over time, change their tenets. And this changed world diplomacy in ways that we're not going to do right now. What we're going to talk about is the most important diplomatic meeting that's taken place in modern history, and nobody knows it took place. And I wrote this up, as I said, for the free market newsletter, and they were astounded. Look, in 1898, Kaiser Wilhelm, the leader of Germany, was in Jerusalem. And by the way, Jerusalem was a very lousy tourist destination in 1898. You took a tramp steamer to Jaffa. Then you took a donkey train up to Jerusalem. The more guards, the better chance you had to survive the trip. It was a terrible place run by bandits. If, by the way, if you think the Palestinian people are the natural people, they weren't there. Every traveler from the 19th century reports the place was just littered with bandits and hardly any people. They came after the British resettled Palestine and brought job opportunities. But nonetheless, Kaiser Wilhelm was in Israel, in Jerusalem, in 1898, and he was there to consecrate three churches. The big church was on Mount Zion. It was next to the Domitian. It was not next to. It was the Domitian Abbey. That's what it's called. To this day, it's the tallest structure in Israel. It's the most noticeable structure in Israel. It sits upon Mount Zion. Now, there was a problem that the Turks owned Jerusalem and that the Germans didn't have permission to build in Jerusalem. Well, they cut a deal with the Turks. They cut a major deal with the Turks. Now, here comes side two to this meeting. Do you know who else was in Jerusalem in 1898 who took a tramp steamer and then a donkey caravan? It was the father of Zionism, Theodor Herzl. He was also in Jerusalem in 1898. And on November 2nd of 1898, he met with the Kaiser. And all we can figure out from the history books, and I went looking everywhere, is that Herzl was rebuffed. Now, rebuffed is not a simple matter. You've got a meeting between the father of Zionism and the leader of the largest country in Western Europe in Jerusalem. Herzl did not come up there to be rebuffed. He thought that Kaiser Wilhelm was going to get the Turks out of Palestine and give him a state. And the only way Germany could do a thing like that is to go to war against the Turks. Well, instead of doing that, the Germans cut a deal with the Sultan of Turkey. They were now allies. And as soon as Herzl understood this, he returned not to Germany, he returned to England. And he said, give us a state in Africa. You cannot fight the German-Turkish alliance. It's just too big. It would kill half the world to defeat them. It's not worth it. And they didn't like that in England when they heard that from Herzl, and they killed him. He did not live much longer. He died at the age of 44. Now, we're told that his heart stopped beating because they worked so hard. Yeah, sure, sure. I went looking for that, too. He entered a Paris sanatorium for some disease. No one tells you what disease is, and he never came out again. They knocked off Herzl. He was the first assassination. And then they went to work getting their Palestine. Now, the first thing is, in 1906, the Dormition Abbey was completed. The Turks went crazy. They were so scared of certain threats that they handed Britain the Sinai Peninsula. Yep, in 1906, the Turks gave the British the Sinai Peninsula, lest you think that Egypt owns the Sinai and Israel had some sort of obligation to give Egypt anything. Well, you're wrong. It was never Egyptian. As many in Israel said, we were getting ripped off. Neither here nor there. That's just semi-modern history. Let's go to the real history. You're talking about a Turkey that was about to fall because the Sabbateans of Turkey, led by Atatürk, formed an organization called the Young Turks, and in 1910 they overthrew the Sultan of Turkey. They got him. They got rid of the Sultan of Turkey. He should not have cut a deal with Germany. Now you've got the Young Turks. And by the way, go on the internet, write Atatürk, Jew, Sabbatean, Mason. You'll be reading for years. The Turks know they're being run by Jews, or at least they call them Jews. I said they're not Jews. These are Muslims. And I met this woman at the 9/11 Alternative Conference in New York. She was representing Turkey. She said to me, "You think we don't know where they came from? We're very proud of them." And Turkey was now in Sabbatean hands. The Donma had prevailed, and then they started the first Holocaust. The Young Turks murdered 1.5 million Armenians. And this was just a dry run for the real thing. Because in 1914, Britain indeed did attack Germany and did attack the Ottoman Empire, and with a little help from Lawrence of Arabia brought down the Ottoman Empire. In 1917, they diverted something like 1 million troops from Europe to the Middle East, and General Allenby walked into Jerusalem. Britain now had Palestine. Immediately after the Balfour Declaration is issued, it was a letter from Lord Balfour to Lord Rothschild of London, looking with favor on the establishment of a Jewish home in Palestine, and everything got done. The British emasculated Germany and completely destroyed the Ottoman Empire, and then they got Palestine, and they handed it over at least they handed over a letter that became British policy, supposedly, to offer a Jewish state. It was never a Jewish state. We've gone over that. They were giving the British Freemasons, who were the leaders of Bolshevik Zionism now. Chaim Weizmann was the leader of this Bolshevik Zionism, and Chaim Weizmann started preparing immediately for the next world war. First, humiliate Germany, and then we will get rid of these nasty Jews in Europe who still believe in the Torah, and we will start again our way in Israel and do a Judaism our way. And this, in fact, what I just explained, explains the following things. In 1898, the leader of Zionism met the leader of the biggest country in Western Europe. He was rejected. He went to Britain, where they declared war on Germany. This led directly to World War I. It led directly to World War II. It led directly to the changing of the entire diplomacy of the planet. And that meeting took place in 1898 in Jerusalem, and nobody knows it took place. Were you aware of this meeting?
No, I was not.
Well, I'm glad to have helped.
Very interesting listening to this.
Oh, when you reread, when you reinvestigate the history of the Middle East and you find out what really happened, there was no Palestinian people. There was never a Palestinian nation. What you did have was an awful lot of Arabs coming from as far away as Iraq and Libya because there were jobs in the place. nothing we're told is the truth. And we have to start with that concept. The founders of Israel were not the good guys. We have been told Chaim Weizmann was a butcher. And he gave a speech in 1936 in Basel, Switzerland, to his Zionist conference. He didn't have to worry about the pesky Zionists of the Jabotinsky branch anymore. They were now no longer part of the party because supposedly they killed someone named Arlo Israel. This is a different history, a different time. The fact remains, he told the assembled that during the upcoming Holocaust, and he used that word, he said maybe 2 million Jews will survive, but they will be the strongest and will be good for Eretz Israel. They'll be good for Zionism. These men were nuts. I want to establish that ahead of time, lest you get confused. These Sabbateans, and I repeat, Shimon Peres, everyone in Israel knows he's not Jewish. Everyone knows his mother's not Jewish. Same with Sharon. All of this is spread around Israel. These are the rumors of how their leaders are not Jewish. The fact remains they are not Jewish. They are determined to destroy the Jewish nation. They are determined to destroy my family in Israel. My children live in Israel. My nephew, my niece, these madmen are going to end up killing them. And this is what I'm fighting against. They have, number one, the truth has to come out no matter what, and that is the Jewish way. Number two, no matter what happens, the alternative is the destruction of more millions of Jews. We have to somehow or another stand up and fight these people. We have to get rid of these Sabbatean Jews from our midst, and it's not easy. And I'm going to give you an example in the United States how hard it is. There are many Jewish organizations. About six or seven have influence. Nobody votes for the leaders. Every one of them, every single major Jewish organization but one, the leader is a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And more than that, in the case of the Bronfman family and the World Jewish Congress, they are simply raping Israel. Now, number one, I'm going to go back to the Bronfmans. Let's just look at the other people. You've got Mort Zuckerman. He is the president of the presidents of Jewish organizations. Henry Siegman, American Jewish Congress. Malcolm Henlin. Oh, Lord, the Bronfman, Ronald Lauder, every one of them are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. All of American Jewish affairs are run through the Council on Foreign Relations. It's an utter, utter disaster going on there. Now, when the people use the word neocons, I resent it very much for a couple of reasons. Number one, people actually think, now think this out. You know that Israel's going down. You know it lost a miserable missile war last summer, fought for the CFR with only the Air Force. They were seeing if Iran could be brought down with an Air Force. I wrote about this last summer that they're going to lose the war. You people don't understand that this is a proxy war. Of course I was right. That goes without saying. But the point of the matter is, do you really believe that the deal was that we knock down the World Trade Center, and then we enter Iraq and Afghanistan, but at the same time, we're also going to demand that you destroy yourselves, because that's what's happened. Does anyone believe that any Jew would force Israel to lift all its protections, to ruin the lives, they're deliberately torturing them. They get great satisfaction, and believe me, it's sexual, with the torture of the refugees from Gush Katif. They're about to do the same thing with the refugees of Hebron. They're doing it all over again. These people are cutting a deal with Washington to destroy Israel, and that's why we knocked down 9/11. Look, the world is all screwed up. There is an order going on, but unless you understand that there's a war going on in Israel at this very moment, it's a war against the religious. is undeclared, and the religious are too stupid to fight back. They are going to throw their hands in the air and walk in the boxcars just like 1942. There's no difference. The religious...
How do the Orthodox Jews, I'm thinking of groups like this Naturae Carta...
Leave me alone with Naturae Carta, all right? You're talking about a group of 25 members that have no influence on anything.
But
look, I'm talking serious stuff.
The fact of the matter is that there are plenty of Orthodox Jews who do not support, presently, a Zionist state of Israel. I was just asking how they fit into this.
Of course they don't support. The Zionists let them die during the Holocaust. You think they've forgotten? The Orthodox Jews have written the history. They're my source of a lot of material. You want to know Israel, read Orthodox Jews like Rabbi Joel Brand, Rabbi Marvin Antelman, Ben Hecht, he wrote Perfidy, a brilliant Jew, Maurice Weinberger, The Scared and the Doomed. Where do you, Rabbi Weissmandel, who somehow survived the Holocaust in Croatia. The Orthodox hate the Zionists. The Zionists threw them out of their home in Israel. They were living there before the Zionists arrived, and they let them die in Europe. Not a hand was lifted to save one religious life. Of course they hate the Zionists, but the Naturae Carta make deals with Israel's enemies who want to murder Jews, and they are so marginal, they have 25 activists, and this is who you bring up.
Barry will be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Barry Chomish when we come back.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Attention, attention everyone. A brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase, WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Mark Dancos America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our guest today has been Barry Chomish. You can find Barry's work at thebarrychomishwebsite.com. Don't forget the definite article there after the www. It's www.thebarrychomishwebsite.com. He's the author of Bye Bye Gaza and Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. I have one more question for Barry before we close in the next 5 or 6 minutes or so, but I wanted to mention that tomorrow I'm going to be having Dr. E. Michael Jones on this show from 9 to 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. He is the editor of Culture Wars, going to be discussing his latest piece entitled Cardinal B, The Jews and Nostra Aetate, talking about the role of Jewish influences and the outcome of the Roman Catholic Vatican II conference in the 1960s. Thursday, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be on the show talking about vaccines. Are they a good idea or are they a bad idea? And what is the political context of the vaccine programs that are being administered in the United States today? And then Friday, we'll be joined by Dr. Robert Sungenis of Catholics Apologetics International. And you can find that site at CatholicINTL.com. He's going to be discussing his article entitled Neocons and the Jewish Connection. Back to Barry Chomish. Barry, you indicate that you think that the state of Israel, in fact, is going to be destroyed. How do you think that's going to happen, and what kind of a time frame do you envision this whole thing happening in?
Barring a miracle, there's going to be another missile war at the first opportunity. The leaders of Tehran, the war councils of Damascus, they all got the lesson from the last war that Israel cannot withstand a missile war. They'll maybe shoot 10,000 in one day, and Israel's finished. Israel no longer seems to have a Samson option. It no longer seems to be capable of nuking Tehran.
How so? I mean, they are the leading nuclear and biological and chemical weapons power in the Middle East. Why would they not be able to retaliate?
So what? Their leadership has determined that the country dies. It has nothing to do. Israel, of course, could defend itself. The Israel that I moved to 33 years ago could defend itself. But the Israel of today is taking instructions that it's no longer wanted, and it is going to simply disappear. The biggest mistake Israel made from their point of view, from the founders' point of view, is that it became Jewish. It showed a love of God. That's not what was supposed to happen. It was supposed to be anti-God. And the Jews arose and became inspired by being in on the land of their ancestors, by being on the graves of their ancestors, and they created a state that was headed in only one direction. It was headed in the direction of the Torah. And the settlements of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza were the world center for Torah revival. That can't be allowed. Israel will go, and it will go because its own leaders are going to make it go. And this is just not understood.
Barry, thank you so much for being on. You can find Barry Chomish again at www.thebarrychomishwebsite.com. He's the author of Bye Bye Gaza and Who Murdered Yitzhak Rabin. This is Mark Dancos America signing off today on the Republic Broadcasting Network, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas. See you tomorrow. God bless.